good shepherd, I lay down my life for you. Enter in, enter in, enter in. I am the good shepherd. As the Father knows me, I know you. I know you. I know you. I know you. And no one can take you away. No one can take you away. You are the good shepherd. You lay down your life for me. Enter in, enter in, enter in. You the good shepherd, as the Father knows you, you know me. You know me, you know me, you know me. And no one can take you away.
Well, it's good to see you. How's everybody today? Praise the Lord. Isn't it wonderful to be in God's house on Sunday? Man, I praise the Lord for it. I had a great time. Thank you for allowing me to get away. And, you know, this country boys, I got out there and they said, don't shoot any buck unless it's 8 points or bigger. And I said, all right. And I didn't see anything 8 points or bigger. I saw four and five, but I didn't see any 8 points, so I shot a little doe. And that probably wasn't real good. Somebody said, you look like you shot Bambi. And I said, no, that was her sister, okay? And actually, the meat on the dough is very good. So thank you for your prayers, and thank you for being here. Please pray for the Horton family as they're making preparations this week for Mary's memorial service. You know, I'm very thankful. There's so much I want to say about Mary. She's such a blessing to all of us, and we're very thankful for her. Tentatively, everything, you know, we have to talk to the mortuary in the morning, but tentatively everything is set up for Friday, and please make sure and check the website or call the church office and we'll have more details. We would like to have a reception here 1 o'clock on Friday, and if any of you would like to bring finger foods, please call the church office by noon on Thursday. That'd be a blessing. We will have a memorial service here around noon on Friday. And if you'd like to come for that, I know some of you have work and you can get off to do that. That'd be a blessing to Tim and his family. And so keep that in mind. How many of you have fears that you struggle with in your life? Anyone have fears? I think we all do. We all have fears. And fears are a normal part of life. I've often wondered, you know, And I'm just thinking this week, you know, when you're sitting there waiting for that deer to come out, you know, you have time to meditate and you look out and you see the trees and all of those things. I begin to think about fears, because fears are a part of what we deal with this side of heaven. And I want to ask you a question. How do you deal with your fears? What is it that you do with your fears? I remember when Johnny Esposito contacted me about the fact that God had called him to leave the comforts of the ministry in Long Beach, a comfortable ministry, a ministry where he was thriving and growing, that God had called him to go to a communist country. And in that communist country, God's called him to go there and preach the gospel and reach those people. For him, that could mean either death or jail. But he was determined that he was going to go. And he knew that it was God's will for him to go. And I remember he was telling me, he said, when I communicate, he said, will you make sure that you realize that I'm going to be communicating to you in code? Because if I don't, then it's a possibility that you know, I could get found out and maybe get arrested. And I didn't realize how important that was until he called back one day and said, hey, don't have my name on any of your websites or anything like that, because, you know, if they find out I'm a missionary, they could come and take me. And that was a rebuke to me, because I remember that when I was a first, you know, new Christian, and someone said for me I was to get baptized, I remember the fear that I had about getting baptized. And you know, for me to get baptized, you know, and stand before people and get wet and all those things, I had a fear about that. I didn't know what that meant. And so I remember when I did that, then I began to grow. And then I came to the place where I realized that through preaching and guidance that I was to be a tither, give 10% of my income. And I was afraid to do that. Is it possible that I could give 10% of my income to God? And through that, I kind of overcame that fear in my life. And then I remember God called me to go out to Bible college. And you know that I grew up in a home where I never stayed away from my house, never left my home unless I was with my mom and dad. And we went up to Bible college my first time. And I remember that, you know, that first week, how lonely it was sitting in, you know, a dormitory, you know, and not knowing anybody, and how fearful that was, and going to class, and the teacher's giving you this big, long sheet of assignments, and I was thinking, you know, God called me to preach, and he wants me to do these things. I'm afraid about preaching. I'm afraid to be away. I have all these fears that was going through my mind, and then I'll never forget, you know, that I got done, and then God called us to come west, and I was afraid to come west. I mean, there was a lot of fears. Where was I going to go? And I didn't know anybody out in the West, you know, and God called me to come west, and well, you know, how am I going to make it? And all, I remember all those fears that came. But each step of the way, that as I faced those fears, I realized that God is bigger than my fears. And I want to remind you this morning that while you may have fears in your life, maybe it was one of the ones that I mentioned, or maybe it wasn't, but the point of the matter is, all of you have fears just like I do. But I want to tell you that we have a God that is bigger than our fears. And missionary Johnny Esposito, he knew something about that. He understood that because he understood a verse that's in the Scriptures. And here's what that verse says. It says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you see, the moment that you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that God is not a Savior just for the moment, but he's for the rest of your life, he's your Savior. That no matter how many fears you might have and how many fears that I may have, that God can take my fear and he can eliminate my fear by faith, through faith in him, through believing in him. You see, the moment that I become a Christian, God takes up residence in my life. That now this body of mine is where he dwells. And the Bible said that as God is dwelling in my body, like he is in your body, you see, we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God, that as He indwells us, that God's presence shows us that we can overcome our fears. Maybe you're here today and you're a teenager and you have fears in your life. You may have the fear of maybe someone beating you up, or maybe the fear of gangs, or maybe the fear of the neighborhood peer pressure, or maybe the fear of something that could happen to your parents, or maybe to your future, not sure of what's going to happen. And I can assure you that all of us have dealt with that. Single adults sometimes have fear about marriage or getting married, or who we're going to marry, and how's it going to play out? How's it going to work? And all of those things, and having children, and what kind of children will I have, and so on and so forth. And then married couples, they deal with things like finances and struggling with finances. Are we going to be able to make it? Can we pay these bills? And can we really give to God? And can we trust God through those things? And I have fear about that. And then what about my kids? And how are they going to turn out? And what about my kids' grades? And will something happen to my kids? I mean, is it going to happen to me like it's happened to others? And so all of us deal with those things. And then even as you get older and senior adults have deal with things like Social Security. I read not too long ago, in October 22nd, in fact, I read about Social Security checks will rise 1.7% next year, which means you get 22 whole dollars more a month. 22 whole dollars that you'll get for the average retired worker. In 2015, the average worker will receive a whopping total of $1,328 a month from Social Security, or $15,936 a year, according to the Social Security Administration. The cost of living rose, according to them, 1.5% this year. But in 2012, actually it went 3.6% in 2012. That means in the last 2 years, they have lost a tremendous amount in just the inflation rate and the cost of living going up with gas prices and everything else. And so there are fears about that. So how do we deal with that? How do we cope and face those fears? I mean, how is it that people like Johnny Esposito comes and says, you know, God's called us and we're going to Cambodia. We're going to go over to Eastern Asia. We're going to go into that area. We're going to reach that population for Christ. And you would say, well, aren't you afraid? Don't you have fear in your life? And he would say, absolutely, but we have God to work in our life to give us that strength. What if God were to ask you to do something like that? What if God were to ask you to give 10% of your income? What if God were to ask you to go talk to your neighbor and tell them about Jesus Christ? What if God were to ask you to teach that class? What if God were to ask you to do something that you said, you know, I don't know how I could possibly do that? What if God wanted you to do something that is bigger than what you could ever expect? I remember reading about Franklin Roosevelt when he used to use these terms, and maybe some of you read that quote. It says, the only thing to fear is fear itself. How many of you ever found out that sometimes the worst part of fear is what we create in our minds? Anyone ever know? You know, that's true, isn't it? We make things much worse in our minds than it really is. And so no doubt about that, that's what we deal with. But God gives us a power. This power is big enough to help us to overcome the fears that come in our lives. But something I found about fear can be paralyzing. I mean, you know, I've had times when I've been so scared that I'm just paralyzed in fear. Remember one night I heard a bunch of noise downstairs in my house, and I was just paralyzed in fear. I couldn't move, and I did the best thing a husband could possibly do. Honey, will you check on that? And since she was half awake and half asleep, she says, sure. And all I did was listen for things. But the truth of the matter is we all have that comes in our life. And what about men in the Old Testament? What about some of the men that did some pretty amazing things? That what would cause those who would cross the Jordan River at flood stage and trust God to go through that? I mean, what about David when he goes against Goliath? And what about Daniel when he goes into the lion's den? What would cause a man to do that? Wouldn't he be afraid? What about those three Hebrew adults who went into the fiery furnace? How about Paul when Paul had faced many enemies and how he had been shipwrecked and how he'd been beaten, how he'd been stoned, how he'd been put in jail? What about Peter when he'd been placed in jail and told not to preach the gospel? I mean, on and on we go. We read about men who faced their fears and they did so many things. What did they have that we didn't? What is it that they knew that we don't know? Well, take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 8. Here's something that God wants all of us to know. You and I, yes, we do have fears. But we also, in Romans chapter 8, we have something that God is going to help us to understand. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 14. I want to call your attention to what God has to say to us in regards to these things, because if you have fears and you raise your hand and say, yeah, I've got fears, I want to give you what God says, how we can deal with those fears. Notice in verse number 14, the Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. God says that we're given something that is bigger than our fears. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. The Bible said that we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. That happens not when we just cry out to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells us the moment that we put our belief and faith in Jesus Christ. That means that we've trusted him. We see him. He's our only hope of heaven. And Jesus, the Bible said, died on the cross for our sins. And what happens is when we trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior, then the Holy Spirit comes to indwell us. Now, this is a confusing thing for many people because we have a Trinity. The Bible speaks of the fact there is a Trinity in Scripture, that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All three of these are equal. They're all real people. They're real, in a sense, real persons, I should say. In other words, they're personal. They are as much God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are as much God as any of the other two. So we have to realize that. And the Bible said that when you and I trusted Christ as Savior, according to these verses, that the moment I did that, that now God has given me victory over my sin and the penalty of sin. Thank God I don't have to worry about hell anymore. Hell's been taken care of by Jesus Christ. So my security is not in what I do or in my church or in some person on this planet, but my security is in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Thank God Jesus Christ did it for me. So we have that. We understand that. Then there's the second part of this, is that the power of the Holy Spirit works in my life every day as I walk through this world. He's guiding me. He's directing me. He's speaking to me. He's dealing with my heart. He's helping me through the days of my existence here as I deal with the fears, I deal with the heartaches, I deal with the disappointments, that he's always there. And it's best illustrated in a verse found in Ephesians chapter 5. And this verse speaks very clearly of the fact that as God the Holy Spirit, who works in my life, and certainly he does, that he is my power, he's given me the ability to overcome those things in my life. But look at this verse. The Bible said, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me explain to you what that means. I'm sure every one of you, adults at least, know and understand that if you become drunk with another spirit, that you are given you're altered in who you are. You're not the same person. Now, my wife's granddad, who when he was alive, he would drink, and he was a nice drunk, if you would. You know, in fact, you know, he was the kind of guy who was mean when he wasn't, but when he got drunk, everybody was happy because he was nice. And you know, it kind of is funny how that works. It seems like the people who get under the influence of something else, they're different than what they normally are. Now, here's what God is saying. God is saying that we are normal sinners, but when we're empowered with the Holy Spirit, that we are something other than that. We are directed now and under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit takes us from being carnal and fleshly to becoming spiritual. That's what he's talking about. And by the way, that's your choice and mine. What am I going to be filled with? Am I going to be filled with myself? Am I going to be filled with this world? Am I going to be filled with the influences of this world? Or am I going to let the Holy Spirit direct my life? Is the Holy Spirit going to guide me? Is the Holy Spirit going to be my strength and my guide? And you see, the truth of the matter is, we all have to make a choice. We all have to decide who we are going to let have influence over our lives. And when we have the power of the Holy Spirit influencing our lives, we're able to overcome all of the things that come in our life, the disappointments and the heartaches and the fears that come. We're able to do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. Several years ago, a writer was writing about this very fact. And he was talking about Christians. And this, by the way, he is an atheist. He's an unbeliever. His name is Desmond Ryan. And he wrote about the typical American approach to God, and he said these words, and they're very profound. Listen to what he says. He says, here's how the typical American Christian sees God. I would like $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to disturb me. So much of him that will change how I live. Not so much that I have to love a person of another color, or pick beats with immigrants, or change the way I use my body. I want happiness, not transformation. I want the warmth of the womb, not the new birth. Just a pound of the eternal in a brown bag, please. End of quote. You know, that's how a lot of people see God. Well, I get God on Sunday. I just kind of want a little bag full of God and not enough to really change my life and not enough to really make a difference in my life, not enough to interrupt the way I'm living. I kind of like the way I'm living. I kind of like living like this and doing my own thing. I don't need enough, too much God, just a little bit, just enough to kind of bail me out when I get in trouble. And when I die, I want to get enough to get to heaven, but not any more than that. Let me remind you, God is not someone you just put in a bag. He's not someone you just kind of plug in when you need him. God is our Savior and our Lord. And when we put our faith in him, he fills us completely with his divine presence. He fills us with all that he wants for our lives. He has a plan for us, and he wants us to serve him and live for him. And when we understand that, then we see what God is saying. And so the passage really is settling down to two questions. Either number one, the way of the flesh, or number two, the way of the Spirit. What choice are you making today? Which direction are you living? I love this verse about you speaking of the resurrection. You speak of the fact that the power of the resurrection, the resurrection power is the serving power for the believer. You see, if you're fearful about serving God, if you're fearful about doing something for God, if you're fearful about these things, the Bible said that God has given us, if you would, that ability to be able to overcome those things. I love what 1 John 4 says. It says it like this. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. because fear hath torment. But he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Christian, your Christian life is not a religion. It's not something that you put on. It's that of a fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life every day. And I thank God for the fact that He fills every one of us. And God is offering to all of us the opportunity to say, you know what? You make a choice. Are you going to let the world tell you how to dress? Are you going to have the world to tell you what you do tonight, whether you go to church or not? Are you going to have the world tell you that how to spend your money? Are you going to have the world tell you, or are you going to let the Holy Spirit guide your life? You see, the Holy Spirit enables us to overcome our fears. Paul wrote these words, these marvelous words in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. I love this verse. It says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." It is not the spirit of fear that we get from God. God's not giving that to us. That fear that somehow we can't trust God, or that fear somehow we can't deal with those things. No, God's not giving us that. That comes from another source. But God has given us the spirit of power from the Holy Spirit. And I trust and pray that all of us will recognize that. Maybe you're here today and you're not ready to meet the Lord. You know, it'd be a fearful thing to think about coming to a church service and hearing about the fact that Jesus Christ loves us. And know the fact that Jesus Christ died for us and that He made it possible for every one of us to go to heaven, that we don't have to fear hell, that we can have the promise of heaven through the finished work of Jesus Christ and then walk out and say no to Him. I would ask you today, will you call on Him as your personal Savior? Will you ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and your Savior today? Will you call upon Him, because He is able to take you right where you are? And then if you're a Christian today, I want to ask you this. As a Christian, what is it that fear that you have in your life that's holding you back from serving the Lord? Are you afraid of the future? Are you afraid of what people might think? Are you afraid of what might happen to you? God is looking for some Josephs and Daniels and Moses and Peters and Davids and Pauls. God's looking for some people like that today in this 21st century. God's looking for some people to say, you know what? You know, I have fear about that, but if that's what God wants me to do, I'm going to do it. We need some more Johnny Espositos who will be willing to go to a country where maybe he will be jailed or maybe he will lose his life. But we need people like that. God is looking for some men who will stand and make up the hedge, as the Bible says in the book of Jeremiah. God's looking for someone like that. Are you willing to be that? Are you willing to make that kind of choice? That's a big choice. But that's a choice that you can make. And I believe that God can use every one of us in here if we're willing to do that. You see, God provides a way to overcome your fears by the power of the Holy Spirit. Will you seek God's power for your life? The resurrection power is the serving power for the believer. The only way that any of us could stand before God is to realize that. And a spirit-filled believer will overcome fear when he is filled with the Holy Spirit. What would it be like if our homes were led by the Holy Spirit? What would it be like if Christians could say, you know what, I'm not going to be let the world dictate to me how to live. I'm going to live by what the Holy Spirit tells me. What a difference our Christian life would be. What a fulfillment we would have in our Christian life. What victory there would be in our Christian life. And as parents would prioritize their church schedules and rather than the recreation schedules. And that somehow or another that God would be working our lives in such a way. I really believe that crime would start going down. I think that things would begin to change. The church house would start really seeing God doing some amazing things. I believe we could start reaching our community if people would just get filled and excited about the power of the Holy Spirit working their lives to overcome the fears that's holding them back from doing what they could do in a community. God's looking for people like that today. You see, a spirit-filled believer will overcome his fear when he is filled with the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, today we know that there's no way that we can serve you without your power.